me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Look with me. Open your Bibles to Psalm chapter 91. Psalm chapter 91. Hallelujah. One day the Lord's coming. If not, you're going. But you'll never get out of this world alive unless he comes. Amen. And that's the next step, the next phase of our life is just step over. Praise the Lord. But until then, we obey God and live for God. Do what God says. I do what I do for the Lord. I like what Miss Vicky said one time that, and it's good to know that Doc Barclay and other pastors are like me, and all of us pastors are like Casey, and said Doc was studying all hard and preparing messages and get to church early and all that and hurry to get to church, and it reminds me of me. I'd go on to church and Kathy comes on, and Kathy gets here on time, but Miss Vicky usually comes a little late. And she told Doc, she said, "Why do you study so hard and prepare so hard and want to get there so early?" And said, "Most of them won't even show up anyway. And a lot of them, it does, don't even care. And some of the rest of them won't even remember what you told them." Said, "Why do you do that?" He said, "Vicky, I don't do this for the people. I do this for Jesus." And I thought, that's exactly right. I do what I do for Jesus. I study if there's 10,000 comes, or I study just as hard if there's 10. That's my job. That's what he told me to do. And so pastors can get that. I have to get that because you get very discouraged. This job probably is the most discouraging job in the world, being in the ministry, pastoring. Can be the most exciting and blessed time, but it's also the most discouraging because it has to do with people. And I don't know if you ever have been in a business where it was up to the people whether or not they wanted to do business with you, but there's so much competition and things. See, I have to do, I'm in competition with Walmart. I'm in competition with the movies. I'm in competition with the beach and with the vacations and with all of those motorcycle riding and all the things that happen on Sunday. I'm in competition with all that. That's a lot of competition. But hallelujah, to stand in victory and walk on through and go through the gate doing my best, you know, I want to hear those words, "Well done." So that's the same way with you. So I hope you do what you do as unto the Lord. If you do it for anything else, it's very discouraging. I mean, I've had jobs. See, I didn't get a payday doing this. That's 41. I've had a lot of jobs, worked a lot of jobs, so I know both fields. I know what it's like. But one thing about it, you go home on Friday and you kick back and say, "Take this job and shove it. I don't have to work here." You know, so, you know, we can say that on the weekend, yeah, but this job don't come with that privilege, I guess. I don't want it to be anyway. Are you in Psalm 91? If you not forget it, you'll never find it. I give you all that time. Psalm 90 and Psalm 91 was written by Moses. Moses wrote this. And so let's look in Psalm 90 at first. As Moses was writing, they say that Psalms 90 was probably one, besides Job, the oldest book or chapter in the Bible. It was written long before the Bible was written. Moses wrote the first five books, you know. And he wrote this, and Job was the oldest book. But Moses wrote this, and he was dealing with things, and some scriptures of it. Some of it was going from the Egypt to the Promised Land. The other scriptures were different things, so that had nothing to do with nothing. It said in verse 9 of 90, "For the days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh." In other words, that's what your life is. "And if by reason of strength," no, it says, "the days of our lives are 70 years. And by reason of strength, they are 80. Yet they boast, their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." Well, that's true. Now, a lot of people say that's the pattern or the scripture for our life, that the Bible promises us 70 years, and if by reason of use or being good life, good living, we reach 80. But Moses was talking in the context here of the children of Israel and what God had told them. And Moses was saying, if we live 70 years, or even if we live 80 years, it's still just a breath. It's nothing. He wasn't telling us in the New Testament that that was a prescription for our life. Yeah, the Lord promised you 70. Well, he does. You know, if you claim that, I'm made that. I'm 70. So, hallelujah, but I ain't going to die. Amen. And, but he, that's in context of what he was saying, so that doesn't necessarily mean that that's for you. Now, some people have claimed that and said, well, that's what the Lord promised. Well, you ought to at least believe God for 70. Amen? And if you live good, you can reach 80. And if you live good, you can reach 90. And if you want to, you can reach 100. You know, I was watching a little thing on Billy Graham last night. And Bill Gaither was on in RFD channel. You know what that is? Well, forget it. And Bill Gaither was on there. And look at Billy Graham and all those, George Beverly Shea and that other guy I traveled with. Every one of those guys, 100 years old and over. Now, that speaks loud. And you know, I want to talk to you about your life. You can live long or you can live short. Do you know you're in control of that? I've heard this all my life. I've even heard people say, growing up, even heard preachers preach from the pulpit. When somebody dies or whatever, well, it was their time. I've heard people say, well, you're not going till your time comes. I don't care what you do. If it's your time, you're going. One fellow said, you know, you can run out in front of a truck. If it's not your time, you won't die. Well, I don't want to try that. Like one fellow said, you know, and he was afraid to fly. And the guy, the mechanic on the ground, told him, so what are you afraid to fly for? He said, you're not going till your time. He said, yeah, but it might be the pilot's time. I don't want to be on the plane when it's his time. That can't be right. Scriptures don't even say that. Now, I believe there is a time to die. The Bible says there's a time to die. There is an appointed time for death. But we can shorten our life or we can extend our life. It's up to you. It's what you do. Well, I want to find out how I can live a long time. When I was 21, those days, and running around and going in military in Vietnam, and I didn't think about death. I didn't even think about the shoot. I don't know. I guess I thought I was going to live forever or whatever. You know, that's why you get young guys to go in the military. You get young men, because you can get them out there and say, "You see that machine gun? Yeah, is shooting at you.
Yep.
And they want to kill you. Yep. Run toward it. Okay. Yeah, we can do that. We can take it. Now, they tell us old guys that, and I said, now, wait just a minute. Hold everything. Let's think about this. Let's reason this out. There got to be a better way than just running toward that machine gun. So we'd sit down and strategize and figure it out, because we think about, hey, I could lose my life doing that. Young guys, we don't think that. They jump out of airplanes, and jump out of boats, and go into the jungles by themselves. And just it's like, well, we're not going to die. Young guys. But after a while, you start thinking smart. Because I don't know how many car wrecks I've been in. Quite a few. Too many to mention. And I never thought about the next time I got in the car going to have a car wreck. It's pedal to the metal, you know. Especially if I saw those blue lights. And I'd turn the car over more than once and roll it down the hill. And before that thing, time it hit, quit rolling, eyes out the window and gone. And when the cops got there, I was gone. They never did catch me. Of course, they catch you now, you know. Of course, you couldn't do it. And I just had a little 327 Chevrolet motor. Now, them big, powerful cop motors. But on them crooked roads in Yancey County, you had to know where to go. You had to know where all the hiding places were. It was around behind somebody's barn, in somebody's barn stall, in somebody's basement, or around behind somebody's house. They didn't know where I went. But sometime before I got there, I'd wreck. And but they never caught me. One night they was looking. No, I'm telling you this. That's after I come back to Vietnam. One night they was looking for me, and there's lights everywhere. They said, one of them said, he came down this way. I saw him. He went right through here. And I was sitting up top of a big pine tree right under him looking at him. So I've seen you VC before, you know. Oh, not VC. That's cops. I was sitting up top of a pine tree just sitting there leaning back listening to him. They didn't ever think about looking up. You know, if you ever get after you, that's a secret. Run up a tree. Well, better look who I'm talking to this morning. No, just stop. That's the best way. Just stop. Can't do that anymore. I scare myself if I get over 60. So, Lord, I can't drive, you know. The reason I got rid of that Chevelle I had, I kept scaring myself. I can't do this. This thing, I can't hold it in a row. Can't do that no more. So Psalms 91 says this, verse 16, with long life, hallelujah. Now that's a good scripture. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That word salvation means healing, prosperity, deliverance, joy, peace, all that. With long life, I will satisfy you. So, I heard Brother Hagin say this. When are you satisfied? When you get older, are you satisfied at 70? I want to go home. Well, I'm not satisfied. What about 80? Well, I'm not satisfied. I want to live a little longer. What about 85? Well, I'm not satisfied. What about 90? Well, I'm starting to get a little satisfied. It all depends on the quality of life. If I enjoy life and is healthy and feeling good and get around and independent and do good at 90, then I say I think I'll stay a little while longer. What about 100? Well, if I'm not satisfied, I know Kenneth Copeland and his wife believing to live 120. Faith works. Faith works. The Lord says, are you satisfied? If you are, come on home. come on home. If you're not, stay there. You may finish your race at 60. What God puts you on this earth to do, He might have put you here to do one or two things. The rest of it, support the church, support the work of God, to pray and give offerings and money and help the preacher and help the preaching of the word. You know, spread the gospel all over the world. That's our job. You're part of a kingdom. And so you do that. But if He called you to do something special, you may be assigned in heaven to win one person to the Lord. Well, you're supposed to win a lot of people to the Lord, but it might be designated for you especially to win one person. So if you win that one person at your race, whatever it is He's called you to do, well, the rest of the time, just enjoy it. When you finish, you know, if He called me to pastor and called me to do a work and says, well, you know, it's 70, 75, whatever, son, you can quit if you want to. I said, well, I don't want to. Well, you've done all I wanted you to do, all your assignment, that's it. And I said, well, Lord, give me another assignment. Okay, I will. But I can finish what He designated for me to do. And I can do that, or somebody can do that. I know preachers that's retired. They retired at 65 or whatever. They pastored and did a good job, whatever. And the Lord said, that's fine. Enjoy the rest of your life. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy going to church. You finished your race. But that doesn't mean you finished your life. So it's up to you with long life. I'm glad He put that long in there. With long life, He'll satisfy you. I know people who's lived a long time miserable. I know people's not satisfied the day they live on this earth. Well, they need to get born again. And they need to start walking in the Word. You can be a Christian, still be miserable. I met a lot of them. It don't necessarily make you happy because you're a Christian. Your mind's screwed on wrong. You need to fix it. Start thinking right. Enjoy life. Praise God. Quit taking... You put too much burden on yourself. You never think the Lord's pleased with you. It's all about works. It's not about works. It's about faith. Just enjoy God. Amen? Now let's look in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. You know where that is? That's Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Now, you can shorten your life. Now, how do you shorten your life? Well, the Bible tells us a lot of scriptures, but I won't have you turn to all of them. But some of the things it says you can shorten your life in, being wicked, being foolish, being reckless, evil, doing bad things, taking too big a risk, you're shorting your life. I always see these adrenaline junkies. You ever see these young guys, adrenaline junkies? They're jumping off a rock cliff. They're jumping, you know, in snow, riding these, you know, skiing down these mountains. I saw one of them out running an avalanche. Well, it's just a matter of time. I mean, it's just a matter of time till you run out of that grace or whatever it is. You're acting foolish. You're taking risk. You're doing dangerous things, and it'll catch up to you. And when it does, somebody will say, well, it's just his time. Well, not necessarily. His time came because he acted foolish. Foolishness will kill you, acting foolish. Now, You have to use your sense. God gave us sense for a reason, you know, whether or not we use it. And we get by. I think God lets us by with things when we're young and whatever. But it's just a matter of time if you just keep pushing it. You just keep pushing it, you know. I read not long ago about the lady who had the the speed record, you know, the fastest something or other. She died trying to go faster. And something in us that wants to push the envelope, you know, cross the line. I think that's good to a point. It's ambition, and for a man wanting to break records and go beyond the unknown, all that's good. It's adventurous, and it's ambition that causes us to help mankind. But there's a place I think Satan and spirits get involved and push us out there. So we need to be led, especially Christians, to the unrighteous, the evil man, the sinner. He's not promised a whole lot. But the promises of doing right and being just and doing the right thing can work for non-Christians. I've seen it work where they live a long time. They didn't go to heaven when they died, but they lived a long, full life and enjoyed their life and enjoyed their family. I've had people like that and try to talk to them and never could get them born again. They die and go to hell. And they were good men. Loved their family, had a good family, did right. And it gave them a good life. God blessed them. But they went to hell. There's more than this life. There's more than this. I tell people, sometimes talking to a guy the other day, I said, you don't have to have God in America to prosper. You don't have to have God in America to live long. You got to have a good doctor. You know, you can live a long time. You got a good doctor and you stay kind of healthy and take care of your body. There's natural things you do. Treating people right, doing things. And you can live a good life and you can enjoy life. I've seen people who enjoy life. They're miserable inside. But I said, one thing about it, when you get ready to die, you better have God. Dying is a real thing. And you can't die right without God. You can live okay, but you can't die okay. You better have God if you're going to die, which you are. Amen? I told a buddy of mine one time, he died when he was 50-something year old. I said, you've messed up life, you stupid thing. I told him that, lay in the hospital bed. He'd a big old guy, rough. If he'd been healthy back in the day, he'd have whipped me, or tried to. I said, you stupid moron, look at you. Laying there, killed yourself. You messed up living. But I said, don't you mess up dying. You made a mess out of living. Didn't do any of it right. But you better get this right now. And I talked to him. You see, where I come from, you had to talk like that to him. See, I said, you're going to hell. You know that? You're going to hell. I said, I know it. I said, well, let's fix it. And I led him to the Lord. Thank God, you know, he didn't have much of a life, but he's in heaven. Praise the Lord. That's not the best, but that's better than going to hell. Living here and accomplishing something, get a good rewards, what the Lord wants us to do. Amen. Are you in Ecclesiastes? Chapter 17. 7, verse 17. 7, 17. Quit messing me up. Do not be overly wicked, nor be foolish. Why should you die before your time? So he tells us here, being wicked will cause you to die early. Being foolish will cause you to die early. Can you see that? Will cause you to die early. Psalms 55. I'm going to turn there. Verse 23. 55:23. Put that up on the big board. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. And you can look and you can prove it by people. You can prove it. Bloodthirsty and deceitful people, lying people, shall not live out half their days. So the Lord tells us here, the Bible does, that You can cut your days short. It also says in the book of Deuteronomy, and also in the book of Psalms and Proverbs, that a person who doesn't have integrity, and he's referring here to an unjust weight, the wrong measure, he's talking about cheating people. He said, if you cheat people, you'll die early. Wow. If you cheat people, and he said, and he's telling the children of Israel, and we've been grafted in to that through Jesus Christ into the Abrahamic covenant, and he was talking to Abraham and his people, said, listen, if you don't do right in business, if you make it a habit of cheating people with an unjust weight, what they would do, they had scales where people would come and they'd measure out their grain or whatever to pay them. Well, they would put a weight on the side, you know, and there'd be a third. You know, they're cheating them out a third of it or whatever. They're cheating people with an unjust weight, unjust measure. And they said, this is what it weighs. And wait a minute, I thought it weighed more than that. And there's the only one had to say, no, that's, you can look at the scales. That's what it says. But they'd rigged the scale. And God said, if you do that and cheat people, especially poor people, you won't live long. We don't understand. We think we get by with stuff. No. You don't get by with anything. The Bible talks, I'll preach a message one of these days on integrity. You would not believe the scriptures that talks about having an upright heart, integrity. It says if you have an upright heart and integrity, that you would be blessed, your children would be blessed, and you'd live a long time. By having integrity. Just that simple. And I've seen it with heathen, with lost people. They were people of integrity. They wouldn't cheat you. My daddy wasn't a Christian until he was older. And my dad outlived every one of the siblings except the only girl in the bunch. And she's too ornery to die. Daddy outlived every one of them. And the rest of them, you know, they had things. But Daddy, and I've heard him talk, he quit school at early age to stay home, and he still called her Mommy. He still stayed home to work and help Mommy. And he said, if I worked and made a dime, I would give Mommy a nickel. This was after he's grown. He said, he took care of his mother. And I remember a lot of times he'd go by and help grandpa and stuff and do things. But that was my dad. That was his heart. You see, even though Dad wasn't a Christian, he had an upright heart. And he scrounged for a living. Any way he could make a dollar. I always listened to that song by Loretta Lynn on Coal Miner's Daughter. Well, he wasn't a coal miner's daughter. I can relate to that song because he would buy us shoes and clothes or whatever he could by selling a hog. He would sell a hog and get money to buy our school clothes. He would I remember he'd go to South Carolina and get a big load of peaches. He'd come back and sell and get a whole bunch of pigs. He'd go down there and get a load of pigs and come back and sit on the side of the road and sell pigs to people. Those farmers, everybody had to have a hog. Anyway, he could make a dollar. He's smart. Had a third grade education. But when he retired, 65, he opened up a little old produce stand on a little old piece of ground there that a man owned. And he asked him if he could put a little stand up there beside the road. And Daddy built a little old stand. And he'd come to the farmer's market and he'd buy produce of all kind. And he'd haul it back out there. And he'd figure that up to the beans, tomatoes, and squash and everything, how to make a dollar. And he would make money off a pound. And he'd figure all that up in his head. And he'd sit there and sell produce till he's up in his 70s. And one day out there, Shirley said, Dad, you need to let me take that money you got and put it in the bank. And he gave her $17,000. And he's carrying around his overhauls. He made selling produce a pound of beans at a time. God blessed him. And he would not cheat anybody. He gave more away. Constantly, somebody would come through there and he'd give them something. All the time. How do you make 17? That was just part of it, one load that he gave her. How do you make $17,000 selling a pound of beans and making a little money on them? God blessed him because he had an upright heart. If my daddy owed you a dollar, he'd walk to pay you. He would not cheat you. He wasn't born again, but he had an upright heart. And God blessed him later on. He was up in his 60s, almost, he's up, well, 70. He got saved. Thank God he went to heaven. Now he's in heaven. He really blessed. Amen. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 3. I got to hurry. It's 3:30. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, talking about the Christian, do not forget the word, but let your heart keep the commandments of God. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Wow. You mean the word of God will cause you to live longer? That's what the Bible says. Keep the God's word. You know what the commandment of God is? Love one another. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, you'll cut your life short. Unforgiveness will cause your bones. You have problems with your bones, your joints. What the Bible says. Amen. If you have unforgiveness, your days will be cut short. If I was you, I forgive people. That'd be a smart thing to do, wouldn't it? I'm not telling you what to do, but you better do it. Chapter 4, Proverbs. Hear my son, verse 10. My sayings. 4:10. Hear my son and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. Glory to God. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in the right path. Hallelujah. With long life. Praise God. Look with me in Ephesians. Time's running short, so we'll get over in Ephesians chapter 6. Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6 is also quoting this out of Exodus chapter 20. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor, everybody say honor. Honor. Your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. It has a promise attached to that. Well, what is the promise? That it may be well with you. That means health. That you would be healthy and you will live long on the earth. Glory to God. And I'll live long on the earth if you'll honor your mother and daddy. Praise the Lord. I've had people say, well, it's hard to honor them. My dad, he abused me. It didn't say you had to like what he did. You honor the fact he's your dad, whatever. You can't do it in the natural. It's supernatural. But God will help you. You just simply say, Father, help me to honor my earthly father. He abused me, but I forgive him. Lord, give me the love for him. He will. He'll help you. Amen? That's with promise. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3, chapter 10. You like these scriptures? This will help you. 1 Peter 3, chapter 10 says, he who would love life. What do you love life? You enjoy life? You said, no, I don't. Well, you can. There's a reason you don't. And see good days. I want to see good days. I want to see good days. And I want to love life. Well, let him shut his big mouth. let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue that. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He's watching you all the time. And the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now notice he said, if you want to enjoy life and you want to have good days, watch your words. Don't get caught up in deceit and trying to sow discord among the brethren, trying to cause strife and contention and wrath and all that stuff. It'll cut your life short. It'll cut your life short, and you won't enjoy life. I've seen people who are just gossipers, who are just all the time trying to sow discord, who are just all the time, just trying to talk against people or talking against authority or doing something all the time, just trying to stir something up. They don't enjoy life. They don't love life. They really don't have a good time. And they cut their life short. I've watched it. Don't ever come against authority. I don't care where it's at, who it is. If it's in a home, if it's in the church, if it's the police, just keep your mouth. Watch your mouth. Because you don't realize it, you're cutting your life short. I want to enjoy life and see good days. Are you out there? We'll read you a couple more. One over in Deuteronomy chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. I'll read you. Because I'll have it read before you get there. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40, it says, you shall therefore keep my word and my commandment, which I command you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you. You know, I've heard this preached, and people's written books about it and all kinds of things. A curse that's in a family. I've seen ministries who went around trying to break curses off of people. Well, the Bible says we redeem from the curse, but you can also bring a curse on you and your family. You can put a curse in your family. How do you do that? By your mouth. By the way you act. It says, if you'll keep the commandment and watch your mouth, it'll be well with you. Now, I put that in there because I just read to you to watch your mouth. It'll be well with you and your children after you. Hallelujah. And that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord your God is giving you for all times. Now that is a generational blessing that can be on your children and on their children. Because you keep his commandments today. Today. And it'll go well with you. Hallelujah. If I go to the doctor, I want it to go well with me. If I want to do business with somebody, I want it to go well with me. If any kind of endeavor, any kind of issue, did you know the Bible says to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues? We have a lot of issues in life. But if we'll guard our heart and keep the word in, out of us will come the issues, the things we deal with of life. Hallelujah. In other words, God will be in control of everything. He will set the stage and already have it planned. I want things to go well with me. I want things to be well with me. I don't want to leave something. I don't know what we're going to do now. I got four lawsuits, and this one suing me, and I got the. It's not going very well with you. You say, well, I don't know when it rains, it pours. If I was you, I'd be changing something. Amen? One more. Proverbs 25:15. That's what I told you a while ago. I want you to see this one. 25:15. You shall have a perfect and just weight. Deuteronomy. What did I say? Proverbs? Sorry. Deuteronomy 25. Why not do that to you people? Just the way I is. 25, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15. Y'all have to live in my head, see? You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measurement, that your days may be lengthened. Wow. In the land which the Lord your God is giving you, for all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Hallelujah. All who do such things is an abomination. Not many times in the Word does the Bible say that things are an abomination to God. That's more than a sin. That is an abomination, means if you study it, makes the Lord sick. He says that about homosexuality. And he says that about certain things you do in the land, that's an abomination. Now, that's talking about having an unjust. See, if business people could ever learn, you don't have to cheat people. You don't have to do that. If you cheat on this deal, you'll lose on this deal. Besides this, every day you do that, you're getting a little shorter lifespan. And he says your day will be shortened. It's not hard to fix things to where you can enjoy life and live a long time. And God does the blessing, not you. You're not that smart. All you're smart enough to do when you do that is cheat people. Kind of fudge on this deal and fudge on that. Add a little price here and add a little that. Do a just thing. Do it right. God doesn't matter. God doesn't care if you make money or how much you charge or how much you do this. But when you cheat, you say, I got away with that. I know people, it says they made a fortune cheating people. Yeah, goodbye. Goodbye. Your life is not much, and you won't enjoy it. Then you get old, you sit and worry about your money all day. Terry and I used to do painting for people and work for a guy, and we'd go in some people's house, and they'd say, oh, you use the bathroom, and you can do this, and you can do that. And then you go to other places. They wouldn't even let you. They'd lock their cabinets and do everything. We was in one place, and this lady just came out there out of nowhere and told us, I already hid my medicine. Well, okay. Thanks for sharing. And you could tell who was pure. To him that's pure, all people are pure. Him that's a crook, everybody's a crook. He who cheats, everybody's trying to cheat. That's how you think about people. And you can tell right off the bat who they are. He who lusts thinks everybody lusts. You just know this guy, you know, wouldn't let his wife wear red lipstick or red dress or any jewelry or anything like that because he thought every man in the church was after. I told him one day, I said, everybody not like you. And if you knew him, you'd know exactly. Full of lust, he was. So he thought, every man's like that. Just, you know, or my wife. And he thought, I got to make her as ugly as I can. I said, why are you doing that to your wife? You're the one with the problem. I told him, you're the one with the problem. He wanted me to take a ride with him one time, right? And he starts sharing all this stuff. I said, you idiot. Nobody has a problem except you. Well, stand up with me. Hallelujah. Anyhow. Well, that's good preaching or something. That's good scriptures anyway. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to live a long time. You might not think like that when you're young. When you get a little older, you think, hallelujah, there's ways that we can prolong our life to live good days. Father, we thank you that you put in your word provision, a prescription for us that we can live long on the earth. Or we can shorten our days or lengthen our days. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to obey your word. We're going to follow you. And we're going to make sure, Lord, that we live an upright, just, and life of integrity and honesty. And we're going to keep your word, which is love one another. And Father, I thank you with that will come a long life where we'll enjoy good days. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Uh-oh. Got the whole crowd. Uh-oh. Now you're in trouble. Okay, it's your turn.
I don't know why he jumps when I get around. The fear of the Lord. Or me one. I just wanted to thank everybody for the honor offering. Thank you for the cards, the money, the prayers, the prophecies, the scriptures. I've sat and read those, and it's been so, but I was looking at the little kids yesterday, and thank God, thank you, Marilyn, for teaching our kids. Brandy, the teachers. Thank you, Matt and Heather, for all the donuts and the sweets before you send them home. Yeah, I know when they've been back there. Yeah. What did Matt and Heather bring you tonight? Oh, it was good. We had brownies with ice cream chocolate. Yeah. Thank you, teachers. Because here's the thing. Let me tell you about this one card I got. And there was they had drawn a picture of Pastor Ronnie and I, and the haircuts was almost the same. The only thing I could tell difference was one had a mustache. And I'm thinking, it may have been me. It's like, oh, did I shave? They were hilarious. But I got to think, and so when I got to looking at it, and it was, thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for being the best. Listen, what other church could you go to that would teach your kids honor and respect? I'm telling you, Maryland starts with these little guys back here in the back. Then they come up, and then they go to they start with Miss Charlene. Thank you, Miss Charlene. And all the teachers back in that little class, Stephanie, all of the teachers back there, Katie, Inslee. Then they graduate up, they go to Maryland during Sunday school, then they go to Children's Church. Listen, the things that you teach them, I know I got one letter, and I'm a squirrel. I got one letter from a person here that said, thank you for what you taught me in the school. It's like, what? And says, as I go through life, I still remember things that were said, that was done, that alters my life now. And you know what? It's, when I think of Brandy, we've got to get behind Brandy in this school. So strong, simply because it alters the course of these kids' life. You say, well, I don't have kids that go there. No, you don't. But you're the one that can help her by praying and giving and doing whatever you can to help her, and that you will reap a reward off of what she does, just like you reap a reward off of what Pastor Ronnie does. It's amazing. And I just sit there with my heart breaking, because it's like, oh my gosh, that's been years. And says, you still alter the course of my life with your words. But I want to do, Father, I just want to thank you today for the gifts, the words that have been, were spoken over Pastor Ronnie and I and given to us. And I thank you, Father, as they honored us, that you will make sure that they are honored in the same amount. But Father, I ask you to even take that amount up abundantly above all we could ask or think. Not just the money, in honor. Father, that everywhere they go, honor follows them. On their job, in the supermarket, wherever they are, on vacation, wherever they are, that honor follows them everywhere they go. Now, Father, I thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, wherever it follows you, okay? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just do the announcement.